Our text this morning is the gospel lesson, which is appointed for the third to last Sunday in the church year. Now, I don't know about you, but this Sunday is always a welcome relief to me. It signals the end of that long, monotonous train of Sundays after Pentecost. The first Sunday after Pentecost, the second Sunday after Pentecost, the third Sunday after Pentecost, and so forth, right up until 20-something Sundays after Pentecost. And then comes that wonderful Sunday for me that signals the beginning of the end, the third to last Sunday in the church year. But I suppose in one sense I probably should not be so happy about this week in the church year, because what we're actually doing is we're doing a countdown toward the end of the world. Liturgically speaking, the entire church is pretending, so to speak, that Christ is going to return in a couple of weeks. And so we start this countdown. Third to last Sunday, second to last Sunday, and then the last Sunday. Christ returns and the world as we know it comes to an end. If not, then Advent is the next Sunday and the whole cycle starts over again. Another reason that I probably should not be so happy about the signal of this third last to the Sunday's arrival is that these 3 weeks that we're dealing with now are about end times, and we have things like Judgment Day to think about. And so the lessons can be pretty harsh during these weeks. Watch out, the end is near, get ready. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. Hymns like, the day is drawing near. That message, watch. But now, to really throw us for a loop, Jesus tells us in our text today not to watch. Yeah, it's right here in our text. He says, the kingdom of God does not come by your careful observation. Well, now we know what Jesus is trying to tell us. It's really a matter of what you are watching for. For example, let me tell you the story of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Splash. This past September, our kids' wading pool was still in the driveway. I arrived home late one evening with my 2 children, a 2-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. It was dark as we got out of the car. I unbuckled little Nathaniel and let him out, and then I struggled to get out of the car carrying Stephanie in one arm and my briefcase in the other. When I got out, I heard Nathaniel excitedly shouting, "Wow, look at all the stars!" And then he started singing, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star," as he walked up the driveway. Now, he was in front of me with his head tilted up into the sky, carefully looking at the stars and singing with great delight, "Twinkle, twinkle," and marching straight for the wading pool. Now, I was walking behind him, carrying Stephanie in my briefcase, and thinking to myself the whole time as he approached that pool, surely he sees the pool. He looked straight at it when we got out of the car. He's been playing in that pool all summer right there in the driveway. Surely he's pretending not to see it, and he's trying to trick me as he often does. Surely he's going to stop abruptly right in front of the pool and then turn to me and laugh. Meanwhile, Nathaniel was about on his 4th time singing through Twinkle Twinkle as he walked straight into the pool and fell in face first. Now, in my utter amazement, I put down my briefcase and Stephanie and pulled him out of the pool. His face and arms were wet and he was sputtering water all over the place, and he too was rather startled. I tried very hard not to laugh as I calmly could, I managed to say, "I thought you saw the pool. Weren't you looking?" With a very rattled voice, he responded, "Daddy, I was looking. I was looking at the stars." We have a similar story in our text today. Jesus is telling us not to look for signs and wonders in the stars. Don't look there, because the kingdom of God is not about stargazing. It's not about apocalyptic code cracking or other such careful observation. Now, of course, the real irony in our text is that the very thing that these people sought was right there already, much as all this millennium hype today is pretty much anticlimactic, because as we know, the real 2000 AD has already come and gone a couple years ago, and we're all still here. Just don't tell the computers that. In the same way, the Pharisees were watching, but they were watching for the wrong thing. They claimed to be watching for the coming of the kingdom of God, and yet that king was right there among them. And they didn't see him as such because they were looking for the wrong thing. They were looking for an earthly kingdom and a powerful king to free them from foreign oppression and to usher in a kingdom of heaven on earth. Nevertheless, the king was there. He was in their midst. The king that would suffer many things and be rejected. The king that would pay the price for the sins of his subjects under the placard, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The king that would die for those subjects and triumphantly rise again, vanquishing the real foreign oppressors of sin, death, and Satan. The king that would ascend his royal throne at the right hand of God the Father in heaven and prepare a place for us in his heavenly kingdom. So don't go looking all over for utopias, not even a Christian one, because it's not going to happen. And if you need any more proof than that, just look around you. It's winter. Cold and flu season are starting up. It's the third to last Sunday in the church year. And it's finals week at SEM. Now more than ever, we all together pray, Amen, come Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly. Amen. In the name of Jesus, Amen.